Over the next 3 years, Excelsior Covenant Church and its people are purposefully joining God in his desire to renew. God's renewal is not of this world, but it is for this world. It is a fresh opportunity to do the most loving thing we can in this life, and that is connect people with Jesus. Through spirit-filled worship, relevant study, sharing hope, and compassionate service, together we will point the way to God's renewal in our 5x5, a 5-mile radius around Excelsior Covenant Church. And for each of us, 5 neighbors God has placed in our life who need his truth, love, and light. Over the course of this first sermon series on God's renewal, we invite you to listen well and begin discerning how you and we as a church body can be an active part of God's renewal in our 5x5. Pray about it. Think about ways to see your neighbors, who's around you, the place that God has placed you, who need his renewal. Ask God to give you his eyes to see where that is needed. We have put a chalkboard up in the lobby. Maybe you noticed that when you came in. And we are asking you to begin with us to start thinking and sharing of ideas that we can be God's renewal in our 5x5. No idea too big or too small, so please write them down. Claim what God is calling you to, or maybe calling us to be in our areas where he's placed us, and continue to pray about it. Today, as we focus on God's renewal, we are looking at sharing hope. And I believe that we need to look no further for an amazing example of what it looks like to share hope than the testimony of the woman at the well. If you have your Bibles or an app, I'd encourage you to look to John 4. We'll be reading portions of John 4 together, along with hearing a monologue from the woman at the well as her testimony is given. We begin today in John 4, verse 1. Now Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that he was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John, although in fact it was not Jesus who baptized, but his disciples. So he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. Now he had to go through Samaria. He came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon.
You won't believe what happened to me a few days ago. I was headed out to the well to get water, and I ran into this man. I always go out at noon, so I don't have to run into anyone. Everyone else goes in the morning when it's still cool out, but not me. It's a long story, but those other women, the whole town, they're always whispering about me, giving me looks, turning away, like I don't know what they're saying. It doesn't matter. Well, it doesn't matter now. A few days ago, it mattered a lot. Anyway, I'm heading out, and I see this guy sitting by the well, not just any guy, a Jew. A Jew sitting at a well in Samaria. Most of the time, Jews take the long way around, but if they do come through, I'm sure they run. Jews don't want anything to do with Samaritans. But not this guy. It seemed just a Jew sitting by our well. So I walked up, minding my own business, and it gets weirder. He decides to talk to me. He asks for water. Any other Jew wouldn't be caught dead talking to a Samaritan, and a woman at that. And he wants to drink from my bucket. So I ask him, "You are a Jew and I'm a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?" If you think that was weird, which it was, the next thing he says is just bizarre. He says, "I should really be asking him for a drink." This Jewish man with no bucket says I should ask him for a drink. And then he offers me water, but not just any water. Living water. He says everyone who drinks of it will never thirst again. This water will become a spring welling up to eternal life. Can you imagine? I would never have to go out to that well again. No bad looks, whispers, no hot afternoon sunshine out there alone, but happy to be alone rather than with those other women. I know it sounds crazy, but I'm excited. Until he says, "Go and tell your husband." He's obviously not from around here. See, my past relationships with men haven't been the greatest. I've had 5 husbands. And the guy I was living with at the time isn't even one of the 5. We weren't married. Not yet. Maybe not ever. So now you know the reasons I can't go down to the well in the morning. All those other women think they know me because of what they've heard, what I've done. I bet they think I'm trash. Worse, worthless. And after a while, I think I just started believing it too, worthless. So, you see, I needed this living water. So I tell him, "I have no husband." And somehow he calls my bluff. "That's nicely put," he says, "I have no husband." And then he tells me, "You've had 5 husbands, and the man that you're living with now isn't even your husband." I try to change the subject, but I can't. He keeps talking, and what he says is amazing. He knows everything I ever did. And he's still talking to me, offering me living water, eternal life. Who is this man? A prophet? No, he tells me he is the Messiah, the Christ. He is the one who will tell us everything we need to know and so much more. Nothing could be better than this. Oh, you have to understand. The man's friends come back, but I can't stay. I have to go. I have to tell people. Come see this man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Christ? He stayed for 2 days, this man, Jesus. He spoke truth into our lives, hope, love, grace, forgiveness. We met the Savior of the world. I met my Savior that day at the well. I told you, you wouldn't believe what happened to me, but you have to. Please meet the man who told me everything I ever did. You won't be sorry. Not anymore.
Verse 39 continues. Many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him, Jesus, because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I ever did. So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed 2 days. And because of his words, many more became believers. They said to the woman, "We no longer believe just because what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is Savior of the world." That encounter with Christ happened over 2,000 years ago. And though I've heard it many times, I can never grow tired of it. For there is something captivating in this woman's testimony. There is something that reminds us of the amazing love that God has for all people, regardless of what we think could stand in our way. And there is something that shows us how that love that Jesus has an impact on lives. Church, we are called to be like the woman in the well. For to share hope in our 5x5, it will take authenticity, bravery, and the invitations to come meet Jesus. As we continue, let's pray. Dear Holy Spirit, thank you for being present with us. Have your way in this space, in our hearts, and in our minds. We love you, Lord. Amen. So after the woman at the well first encounters Jesus, verse 28 says, "Then leaving her water jar, the woman went back to town and said to the people, 'Come, see the man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah?' They came out of the town and made their way towards him," Jesus. Do you ever wonder why they listened to her? Why did they follow what she said or start making their way to Jesus? I mean, in all honesty, she's an outcast. She is the bottom of the social ladder. what they think they know her. A small town, everybody probably thought they knew her story, right? But yet, they listened to her, and they started making their way to Jesus. What is it that she does that brings people to Jesus? I believe there are three elements that we can grab a hold of in this woman's testimony that are critical to sharing hope in our 5x5. The first thing we see from her is transparent authenticity. She went into her town. She spoke to the people that she knew, and she just said, listen to what happened to me. She was open and honest about her encounter with Jesus and how that had impacted her life. After surrendering my life to Jesus in college, I was on fire for God. My little sister Jenna, who's here today, once told me, most people take steps of faith. Lindsay, you took an elevator. And I did. I wanted everyone to know the difference that Jesus had made in my life. I wanted them to know what I had found. The freedom, the peace, the purpose was so good. How could I keep that to myself? And so I would go and knock on dorm room doors. And I would ask people if they wanted to talk about God. And I was so nervous every time I went out. But it was so important. I knew those people needed what I had found. I knew that they needed to come see Jesus. And so we'd have conversations, and we'd talk, and I would invite them to church. Come to college worship. Here's some scripture. Wherever, any way, and any possible avenue where they could run into who Jesus was. Tim Keller, he's a pastor, he says, knowing sharing hope is just telling people what happens because Jesus is a part of your life should be both comforting and convicting. It's comforting because if you have experienced the love of Jesus, if Jesus is how you face your problems, if Jesus is who you turn to when you are in need, if Jesus is the way you set your priorities, if he is who you give thanks to in the good and you go to in the bad, what do you have to do? Just tell people. But it's convicting too, right? Because the only way that you can fail is if you hide who you are. You hide your heart. I was talking to a new friend one day. We are both on the PTO board at our children's school. And she started sharing how her husband was trying to find a job and the hardships in that. And so I listened. And then I told her how when Jared was trying to find a job and he was searching for a job, I had my hopes set on this one job. And it seemed like it was going really well. And then Jared called me when I was shopping at Target, and he said, it didn't pan out. And I literally cried in the middle of Target. But then I kept telling her, I said, but you know, we prayed that God would open and close the right doors for Jared and for our family. And the job that he did accept is more than we could hope for or ever imagined. If you don't know, my husband works from home, and that is amazing. When I'm running late, he gets the kids off the bus. We see him all the time, breakfast, lunch for us, dinner. And he loves his job. God opened and closed the right doors. And I told her that, because that's how I faced my problems. Pastor Tim Keller also says, in normal relationships, you get more transparent as the relationship develops. So if you're a Christian, and the people around you, friends and neighbors, don't know you're committed to Jesus, there are only two possibilities. One, Christ is not as central to your life as he wants to be. Or two, you're hiding who you are. You lack authenticity in your relationships. Church, people around you need the hope that only is found in Jesus. People around Excelsior Covenant Church need that hope, and we cannot hide it. Like the woman at the well, we must be open and honest about our encounters with Jesus. For sharing hope takes true, transparent authenticity. The second thing we see in the woman at the well story that we can grab a hold of in our own lives is incredible bravery. It takes her a massive amount of bravery to go back into a town where people knew who she was, a place where she was an outcast. She was the bottom of the social ladder. It took an immense amount of bravery for her to go back in there and say to these people, listen, this is what happened to me. But you know, that didn't stop her. I'm sure she's thinking, the possibility of them listening to me is little to none. But that didn't stop her. I'm sure it crossed her mind that this actually sharing about this man and this hope could actually make her situation worse. But that didn't stop her either. I think if we're honest, I believe we all worry about what other people will think. If we're honest, we're worried that if we say something about God, it might impact a relationship in a way that we don't want it to. It might negatively impact our future, our plans, our careers. Unfortunately, it seems all too common to spend more time worrying about why people won't come to faith in Jesus instead of being brave enough to invite them to come meet him and allow Jesus to do the work. The woman at the well does not let fear stop her. After my initial surrender to Jesus in college, the devil slowly and tirelessly worked on chipping away at my bravery through insecurities, through passions, through pride, chipping away. You can't say that, but what about this? Through other people and seeds of doubt, I began to push back the importance of inviting people to meet Jesus to the back of my heart and the back of my mind. There were other things that I needed to do, priorities that I could put in front of that, distractions. The woman at the well shows us that it takes bravery to share hope. I have to battle every day to grab a hold of that bravery. I know some people look at me up here and say, oh, you can do that, Lindsay. That's like, you can just talk to a tree and they'll find Jesus, right? No, like it takes bravery for me to say things like I did to that friend. I barely knew her on PTO, but I thought, this is how we found peace, and I'll be praying for you with that job with your husband. It takes bravery for me to wonder, can I say that? Do I do that? Every day, and I want so badly to grab a hold of that bravery. I tell my little girls every day before they go off to the bus, if they were here, they would tell you, it says, may you always have a faith that is fearless. Be brave, be kind, be everything that God created you to be. We all need the reminder to be brave, to have a fearless faith every day. And that means opening your Bible and reading God's truth, talking to another person who loves Jesus. Where are you going to find that reminder and that encouragement? In his word, through prayer, encountering the Holy Spirit every day. Church, if we want to see God's renewal in our 5x5, we must be brave. The third and most important element the woman at the well shows us about sharing hope is simply Jesus. The woman didn't have a PhD. She wasn't highly educated. She didn't go out and preach a sermon or pretend to have all the answers. She just invited people to come see the man who told me everything I ever did. could this be the Messiah? Sharing hope is inviting people to meet Jesus for themselves. Come, learn about him, read about him, encounter the Holy Spirit through scripture, worship, prayer. The last part of the woman's encounter with Jesus in verse 42 says this. They said to the woman, "We no longer believe just because what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is Savior of the world." The woman at the well, through authenticity and no small amount of bravery, shared about her encounter with Jesus, and people wanted more. It was then Jesus who shared the truth and Jesus who changed their hearts and their minds. Who in your 5x5, who around us here at Excelsior Covenant Church needs the hope that only Jesus can provide? We can do good things and we can provide relief for a while, but if we do not point Jesus, if we do not invite Jesus, people to meet Jesus, and the hope that he has, that hope that we give will be fleeting. For only Jesus provides lasting in hope. And for us, it is a daily encounter with him that will continue to fill us up. As we look at a vision that we're going to grab a hold of for 5 years, it means that we need to be purposeful to start thinking about who around us really needs this hope, really needs Jesus. And so this morning, as we play this song and you watch the words, I invite you to, one, remember what Jesus did for you. Remember the love and the hope that he gives. Grab a hold of that. Think of those encounters where you have come so close to Jesus. And then, two, may this song make you remember that people need what you have. People need what we are giving here at Excelsior Covenant Church, pointing to Jesus. And so ask expectantly for God to reveal someone during this time who needs Jesus in your life. Ready?
Come out of hiding, you're safe here with me. There's no need to cover what I already see. You've got your reasons, but I hold your peace. You've been on lockdown and I hold the key. 'Cause I loved you before, you knew it was love, and I saw. Still, I chose the cross, and you were the one that I was thinking of when I rose from the grave. Now, rid of the shackles, my victory's yours. I tore the veil for you to come close. There's no reason to stand at a distance anymore. You're not far from home. keep on coming. And oh, as you run, what hindered love will only become part of the story. And oh, as you run, what hindered love will only become part of the story. And oh, as you run, what hindered love will only become part of the story. And oh, as you run, what hindered love will only become part of the story. Baby, you're almost home now. Please don't quit now. You're almost home to me.
People need the hope that only Jesus can give. There is so much hopelessness out there. But what Jesus says and what he offers is beautiful and lasting. What he offers is enough. If you don't know that, I would love to talk to you. If you do know that, I would love if you would go talk to somebody else. For church, we are called to be like the woman at the well. If we are going to reach people in our 5x5 with God's renewal, it will take authenticity, bravery, and invitations to come meet Jesus, so that one day those people that you talk to will be able to say, "We no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world." Pray with me. Dear God, thank you for your love for us. I thank you for the hope that only you can offer, God, and I pray for these people here today, God, that they will grab a hold of that hope, that they will remember the way that you are in their lives, God, and that they will want to tell other people to come meet Jesus. We love you, God. Thank you for loving us. Amen.